Well, good Wednesday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning, we are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page with my guests from the Carroll County School District. Sitting to my right, we have School Superintendent Scott Cowart. Sitting to my left, we have the Chairman of the School Board, Brian Turner. As many of you know, on Monday, the school district made the decision to delay the official start of school one more time, this time till the 24th of August of next month. There's an interesting two-week period before that. We want to talk a little bit about that as well and get as much information out to parents who may still have questions this morning. And if you do have questions, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I will share them with our guests this morning. So good morning to both of you, and appreciate you guys coming out this morning. You were just on like 2-3 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
And but we did talk about how this is a fluid situation and decisions. You guys are going to make decisions as quickly as you can, but you do definitely want to make sure you have time for parents to prepare and for teachers to prepare and for students to prepare for this coming school year. The decision, again, on Monday announced to delay the official opening till the 24th. Can you guys talk about the background, maybe the polls you took and the studies you took and maybe the stats that are out there right now that brought you guys to that decision?
Yeah, be glad to. I think we want to start with the fact that we're very fortunate in this community to have great partners who have worked alongside of us all summer as we try to prepare for what the start of school might be like. Our Department of Health, Tanner Health Systems, our emergency management folks, the county government, and many others in our medical community who have been there alongside of us every step of the way to have conversations, to share the data, to interpret the data with us, to talk about what best practices we need to consider, you know, and what are the things that are happening around us in our community. The entire time we've talked about the fact that we wanted to make our decisions based on what's happening in Carroll County, not in Atlanta, not at New York or anywhere around us, but you know what's happening in our local community. So those partners have been such a vital part of helping us to understand and to know. We were thankful in June that our Board of Education allowed us to move the original start date from August 4th to August the 10th. And the purpose of that was to give our teachers more time in the preparation, to give 8 days of pre-planning instead of 4. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, as we've worked with these partners and we've monitored the data, monitored the situation in our local community, it became apparent that there might be a need to delay a little bit longer and to continue to work to prepare, but also to continue to allow the situation in our community to kind of moderate a little bit. And so that was what we took to our Board of Education. We're very thankful that a board, you know, saw that and were willing to do that, because this is a step that's not only important for our students, but we think it's important for our staff as they prepare in our community as we move forward.
You had offered when students would return to class, there's the option of doing virtual learning. They could apply to take classes online or be in school. And that was when it was set for August the 10th. You had about 20% of the student body. And interesting, the majority of them, more than half of those people who applied for that were in the Villarica cluster. So you can do it, that information what you want. The majority of the students overall were in elementary-aged kids. Of those that did apply. Do you think those numbers will change? You know, now that day's been shifted 2 weeks, do you think that 20% could rise a little bit or could even lower?
Absolutely. I think that number can move in both directions. We've got families that continue to engage us in conversation, and we'll work with families on a case-by-case basis moving forward may be still interested in the virtual option. But we've got some in the virtual option right now. They're saying, well, since you moved the date back a little bit, we want to see what happens from that, and we may be interested in the face-to-face. And
so that is open to them, though, if they did apply
absolutely.
For it, they could
change. You know, what we're trying to do is make sure we meet the needs of the students and the families. Mm-hmm. This is a unique situation for all of us. You know, we've never been through something like this, but if we err, we have to err on trying to think through how can we help each individual child, each individual family meet their educational goals. And ultimately, you know, we believe that in-person learning is the best fashion, but inside of that, we have to give options. So that's something that we will continue to do. Right now, we have right at 19% of our student body who has opted to, you know, they want to consider the virtual option, which is actually lower than many of the districts around us who are up around 30 to 35%. So that ours could continue to change. And if it does, we'll meet and help those families out.
We'll talk about the steps you've taken in schools to ensure safety and maybe the process of students going back to school in a second, but virtual learning, they're different than when they took it in the spring semester?
Absolutely. And that's something that we've tried to communicate. I think it's been a little confusing at times for parents to understand that. You know, we're so proud of what our teachers did in the spring to turn on a dime, you know, not knowing what was about to happen, and all of a sudden go from, you know, traditional in-person learning, and 24 hours later they're doing some type of distance learning with students. And we did it for 2.5 months, and so we're so proud of our folks. But a lot of that distance learning wound up being a way to engage the children, to review and to look at work that really had already been taught, just to keep them engaged over that last 2.5 month period. As we look at the beginning of this year and kind of going to virtual learning, it'll be about new content. It'll be about new learning. So think about a ninth grade student who finishes Algebra 1 at the end of last year. Now it's time to move into geometry. That looks totally different than reviewing geometry at the end of the year to starting out and having to, you know, have the beginnings of the learning that goes along with being a geometry student. And I could, you know, give middle and elementary kind of examples too. So we just want parents to know that that there's a big difference. And because of that, it will require probably more diligence on the part of the children as far as the time commitment and the engagement commitment. And it'll be a lot of support needed from the parents to help them with that. But it also be a lot of support, you know, needed on our end to try to help them move forward with that new learning.
And that will be also designated teachers and designated people that are specifically going to be focusing on virtual learning versus their regular teacher. You know, as this past year we had, you know, a lot their regular teachers basically shifted to that dynamic. And this way, these are going to be folks that are specifically focused on this learning.
That was going to be the next question. Thank you, Bryant.
Good. You're a little slow, Colin.
Time right now is 8:38. Our guests this morning are with the Carroll County School System. Superintendent Scott Cowart to my right, and to my left, Board Chairman Bryant Turner. Before we do take our first break, if people are interested in virtual learning, I mean, can they see a sample? Is there anything they can do to help them make that decision if they'd rather?
The best thing to do is to call our teaching and learning department, asked for Michael Browning. Michael is an administrator on assignment this year to head up our virtual learning program. He has the most comprehensive understanding of what we're doing and can talk to parents in a way that that we can find what the need is of that family, what that child needs, and then he can really give them the information they need. Michael Browning.
Very good. Time right now is 8:39. We are going to take our first break and come back and finish up our conversation with Carroll County school representatives. Again, Bryant Turner sitting to my left, Scott Cowart on my right. And if you're watching us on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page, encourage you to post any questions or comments. We do plan to touch on a lot of things, and perhaps your question is something that we will talk about, but feel free to post it up there anyway, and we'll make sure that we try and share it during this program. Community Voice, brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our daily schedule includes convocation, prayer, and the Pledge of Allegiance. By doing so, we build a family-like community where all students grow and flourish and personal faith is encouraged. Through community service and a historical approach to biblical study, our students are taught the value of the warrior way, honesty, respect, and responsibility. Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. To learn more, visit oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
8:40, 20 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. I'm Colin Worthington. This is the Community Voice program, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Streaming live on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Noticed a lot of questions on there, and I'll definitely get to those here in just a second. Our guest this morning from the Carroll County Schools District, sitting to my left, Carroll County School Board Chairman Bryant Turner, and sitting to my right, the Carroll County Schools Superintendent Scott Cowart, discussing the return to school. It was delayed on Monday. It is pushed back 2 weeks, but interestingly, not something I've seen with any other districts, actually, not locally in particular, but that two-week period before you guys officially return to school, you've kind of called it a soft opening. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, the board was excited to hear, you know, sort of a very innovative approach to the opening that's going to occur on August 24th, and that is taking the two-week period prior to that, where we were going to open around August 10th. Our staff came up with some great creative ideas where we could do some soft opens with some pre-K events and some kindergarten events, allowing those parents to get on campus and those kids to get on campus in a distancing type manner where the building is clear and plenty of room to spread out and those kind of things and get to experience some of the opportunities on each of our campuses. And there's also going to be some sort of remediation options. You know, if a child struggles in certain subjects, they may have an opportunity to focus on some math, get a jump start on some math one-on-one. What a great opportunity that'll be for some kids that may be struggling in some subjects that they just need some attention on as they left last year, realizing those are some focus areas that they may need. You know, we already have some events that are going on campus, you know, some of our extracurricular type activities from band to some football and following those procedures and protocols there, and so far been very successful working through those. And so I think that was a great idea and very innovative. It's going to take a lot more work from our people because they're still preparing for that big open on the 24th, but they're also trying to offer some opportunities to get some folks on campus in a safe way in between.
Is there an idea to allow those students and parents to see what the school is going to look like in 2 weeks? I mean, give them some sort of comfort
Yeah, I think that's the neat part is they'll get to see our procedures that we already have in place for our teachers and for administrators and what our school protocol is going to be. And let's just say I think there's some opportunities maybe to have like a kindergarten or a pre-K camp where they may come a couple days on campus. May or may not, just depends on what each school needs to get those folks on campus. And to get those children acclimated to see, all right, there's going to be some procedures to this. There's going to be some ways we do things differently than the way school normally starts. And I think that gives them an opportunity to sort of see that, number one, we can be safe and we can be smart and we have some procedures and we can make those parents feel comfortable. And that's what we want to be able to do during that period of time is show those parents that we can, you know, do our part to keep everyone as safe as possible.
One of the neat components of what we're going to do during that 2 week period is that we'll also be providing transportation for students. So it won't be just if a parent can bring them, but if a student needs transportation, we'll run routes. We'll also be providing our school nutrition program on site, so they'll have meals while they're on campus. And so it'll be an opportunity for our teachers, but also for those kids to experience that. Another area we're going to look at is acceleration. So we may have robotics camps or coding camps or, you know, cool things like that that kids may want to be interested in too. The goal will be that every student who's going to come back for in-person learning will have at least one opportunity during that 10-week period to be on campus, hopefully multiple opportunities in small group settings.
Now, that information, is that going to be sent out to parents via email or available on the website? Mm-hmm. How are they going to learn all that in detail?
Yes. We put out communication to the parent yesterday to kind of outline the broad spectrum of what this will look like, and we will be, each school will be providing specific information, you know, relative to how they'll approach it and what they'll offer on what days. So for example, Central High School, Monday the 10th, they may be bringing in half of their ninth grade class for a day, and the next day might be the other half of their ninth grade class, so, but they'll determine that and communicate that with their parents.
You guys had put out an open house schedule this summer, which would begin on August, well, actually in July for some, but for some schools. Is that schedule still set?
Yeah, it slid backwards into this August 10th through 24th period, too.
And they're also staggering some of those open houses now, so it can have smaller groups. And some people are even going to offer some virtual open house options in the period of time. So there's going to be multiple opportunities for those to have some personal one-on-one with some of their teachers.
Yeah, and I want to piggyback something that Mr. Turner just said about our staff. We recognize this will be more difficult. It's not the easiest way to open, and we think it is an innovative approach for our parents and for our students, but also it will require our staff to really be a little bit more creative, to put a little bit more work in. But in the end, we think we'll be better prepared for the opening on the 24th.
Mm-hmm. And when you guys announced the 24th, you did leave it open. You said, hey, if we have concerns on the 24th, we're going to go full on virtual option. What will you be looking for on the 24th? And I guess, you know, how long can you wait to make that decision?
Yeah. Let me clarify that just a minute. So the virtual option is for those families that are choosing that rather than in-person learning to start the school year. Okay. If we get to the 24th and we can't come back with those in-person students, they will transition to distance learning, okay, which is a little bit different than the virtual. Distance learning reflects the fact that that could be for a week, it could be for 2 weeks. It doesn't indicate that it's for a specified period of time. Virtual option students will be in the virtual option for a minimum of 9 weeks. They can choose at the end of 9 weeks to come back into the regular in-person setting, or they can continue forward for another 9 weeks in the virtual option. So there's a little bit of a distinction between virtual learning and distance learning. Distance learning is what we will use if we have to have some type of closure or, you know, the inability to have school for a short period of time.
And the hope is then, I mean, the distance learning, that you can make that decision on a weekly basis?
Yeah, if that's what's needed, we could do it on a weekly basis, or we could say we're going to do it for 2 weeks or whatnot. Our plans are detailed to the point where we have the contingencies to, you know, look at the whole system. We have a contingency to look at clusters. We can drill down to an individual school or drill down to an individual classroom. And we can make any of those decisions that, again, as the data or as the advice from our healthcare professionals comes into us, we can make those adjustments as we need to.
Do you think, are you guys getting different data or different information from healthcare officials than the public is when you're going to be making this decision?
No, I think we're getting that and more. You know, one of the things, and it's kind of interesting, everybody wants to help right now. Everybody wants to give us guidance, and everybody wants to give us data. And so it's almost like overload sometimes. But again, you know, what we really rely on is what our local Department of Health, what Tanner, what our local medical community is sharing with us. And we're in constant contact on a daily basis, you know, with them. And they've been wonderful. And also the county government has been great to work with. Everybody recognizes that this is a unique situation. It's so fluid, and that we have to work together, and each entity has to be prepared to make the best decisions it can for their organization.
I promise I will answer or share the questions that are on the Newstalk 1330 Facebook page after this next break. Let me ask you one question before we do go to the break. You guys did just approve a budget on Monday of this week. What is in that budget that perhaps wasn't in last year as far as you guys prepare for safety, you know, whether it be nurses and PPE? What's in that budget?
One of the biggest items is we're adding CNA option for all of our schools. I think about 14 CNAs, so that our nurses can have some assistance to that. And it's very moving to hear Mr. Cowart say whenever he shared that idea with our nurses, he actually had some that came to tears, you know, that were just moved by the fact that they feel like, I think they were leaving a school year seeing all their responsibilities already and then realizing the additional responsibilities of what could be going on in our on our campuses this year. And I can only imagine the overwhelming feeling that they had, thinking they're going to come back, and for them to hear that they're going to have some help and some assistance there. That's a large part of that budget, you know, and also, you know, we had to admit that we had a few schools that were sharing nurses. So imagine trying to field all the needs there naturally, plus this new addition is going to be sort of tough. So adding these assistants are going to give them an opportunity to sort of spread themselves out a bit and to be more prepared and care for our families and our kids a whole lot better. Not only are these additions of all these medical staff going to be there, but, you know, there's tons of PPE we want to provide. We don't want anybody to feel like if they can't afford or get a mask, if they need one, they're going to have the ability to have one. You know, if there's all kinds of other opportunities that we're taking as far as strategic cleaning procedures, as everybody's aware, you've got to stay ahead of that, and cleaning between movement of children, and it takes a lot more staff, a lot more equipment, and those type things. So we made some adjustments this year, this past week, on behalf of our board, to really make sure we take the preemptive steps that it takes to be prepared and keep everybody safe.
You're talking about the PPE. It reminded me of your meeting, your board meeting on Monday. There was a gentleman that suggested he heard that there was not warm water at one or two of the schools. Is that accurate? Is that something that's being addressed?
Well, we've got soap in all of our restrooms. We got water in all restrooms. Oftentimes it's cold water, not warm water, but that's something that we're looking into.
All right. Yeah. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, we're going to take our final break and come back and wrap up our conversation with these representatives from the Carroll County School District as we talk about how they're getting ready for the coming school year. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy, here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
All right, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, 851. Our show brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Colin Worthington, our guest, Bryant Turner, Scott Cowart with the Carroll County School District, as we talk about opening up the school year, getting ready for the upcoming school year. This one's coming from Tracy Burns. I'm going to spend this, hopefully, 10 minutes asking questions off our Facebook page. Can you talk about the standard operating procedure for when students or teachers test positive for COVID-19? Imagine a teacher does test positive. Do you think about the kids that were in that class, and then the kids go to the next class, and who is quarantined after that point?
Well, again, I want to go back to the partnership we have with the Department of Health, and we have very clear guidelines that we work with them on, and anytime any type of issue would come up, you know, whether it be symptoms or, you know, possible positive tests or whatever it might be, we're in instant contact with Department of Health, and they give us specific guidance based on the circumstances in the surrounding area. So a lot of times it's going to depend on where it happened, when it happened, what was happening in that area around them, and then they give the guidance based on that. And one of the good things is, you know, we've had students on campus now for 6 or 8 weeks for our extracurricular activities. And so we've been able to experience going through how do we work with the Department of Health guidelines, how do we work with them when there's a question, how do we work with them if there's an issue. And so we've done a good job with that. But again, their guidance is very clear to us, and that's what we follow.
Dr. Toomey's office, I got the opportunity to be on a call with Dr. Toomey's office and the governor's office on behalf of our board to get information. They addressed this very concern. She said they had over 1,500 staff members that helped with trace contacting. And she said, literally, our office is one phone call away. Said, if you have an instance, a situation, don't feel like you have to know what it takes to figure out who needs to be separated, who needs to be closed, what needs to be done. Our staff will send somebody there. We'll determine, we'll investigate by professionals that know how to do that and figure out the safest way to be able to monitor that situation. You know, you can't beat that type of service and support from our state.
do have a lot of people who echoed that question, so appreciate you guys touching on that this morning. Some comments for you guys on there as well, so I encourage you to take a peek at them. People just applaud the fact that you did make a decision here, and they respect you protecting their children. Kevin Bush, a little ill-informed here. Let's see here. Oh, how many students will you allow in each classroom?
Again, that'll be a little bit fluid based on what the situation is in the classroom. There's no cap number, and a lot of times it'll depend on, in that particular room, how much space can we create? Some rooms will be able to create more physical space than others, and so that will be, a little bit fluid. But we'll try to keep our numbers as low as we can and spread out and use auxiliary areas that we sometimes typically don't use for classrooms. We'll have classrooms in dining rooms. We'll have classrooms maybe happening in gyms, and in this really nice weather, we're going to be going outside a lot with our students to have classrooms. So we'll try to do that. We'll do some cohorting where, some groups of students may stay together the whole day, which happens a lot at the elementary level, but we'll look at some cohorting in some other areas. And so there'll be a blend of different strategies used to make sure that we're creating as much space as we can and also doing the other preventative measures that we can when possible.
One advantage of the virtual learning opportunity is we know going into this we're almost at 20% less capacity, which gives us a little bit of room right off the bat to try to work and adjust these classrooms. So, there's sort of some things by default that's going to help us somewhat.
The first day of school, you'll probably learn a lot. I mean, you probably have an idea of how you want to treat that first day, and you're probably going to learn a lot just on that first day. What will that first day look like, though, for parents who bring their kids to school?
A great question, but I also want to go back to that 10-day window before the first day. That's where that is so important, because we're going to learn so much from that period of time where students and families are on our campuses, and we're getting the chance to do these preventive measures and protocols, and we're getting parent feedback, we're getting staff feedback, we're getting student feedback. And so there'll be a lot of adjustments that'll happen even before we get to that first day of school. But on that first day of school, I think there will be a lot of sensitivity to the needs and to anxieties that folks have. And that starts with our staff. And that doesn't just start with the families and the students. It starts with our staff. So we have to understand that. We have to work hard to try to be probably better prepared than we've ever been, better organized than we've ever been when it comes to, how do we transition students in the building? How do we move students at certain times? How do we create more space when we can create more space? But a big component, and I think this is something that everyone needs to hear, one of the things that's a cornerstone of our strategy is that we believe in personal responsibility. And we believe that a big part of that is making sure that we do a great job of educating people on the why. And that's happening starting today in our schools. This is the first day for our teachers and staff to return. And so we're spending a lot of time talking about why are we doing this or why are we doing that? What is my responsibility to keep my family safe? What is my responsibility to work with others around me and to help keep them safe? What is our responsibility? And so trying to do a great job of educating people on what we can do for each other, mm-hmm. because everybody's goal is to be back in school. The kids want to be back. My teachers want to be back. Our community wants us to be back in school. Mm-hmm. We believe we can make a lot more leeway or headway if we can explain why we're doing these things and get people to be on board because they're motivated to be on board with what we're trying to do, and we can accomplish a lot more and we can have a better school year.
Yeah, 1 minute left for this question, and I'm sure you'll be happy just to give me a minute on that. As far as not mandating masks this year, difficult decision. What's behind that?
Well, again, as we think about the why I'm helping people understand, our expectation is that in our facilities and when folks are on our campuses, if we can't physical distance, if we can't be outside of 6 feet, our expectation is folks will wear a mask. We've been very clear the whole time about that. Now, the way we approach getting there may be different from others, but it's an expectation of our adults. It's going to be an expectation as we work with our students. And what we're going to do is do a great job of explaining explaining why and inviting people to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Gentlemen, thank you for coming out this morning. We appreciate everybody tuning in via the Newstalk 1330 Facebook page and all their questions. If there are questions on there that perhaps we didn't touch on, I hope you guys get a chance to go look at those and answer those for our viewers and listeners. 8:59 right now. Stay tuned for national news, followed by your local news at 2 minutes after the hour. Glenn Beck is on the air until 12 o'clock. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.